Taita returned to the stone cell in the temple annex that had been allocated to him for the duration of the peace conference. He drank a little sherbet, for it had been hot in the courtyard, then went to the window in the thick stone wall. A flock of bright-coloured weavers and tits hopped and twittered on the sill and on the flagged terrace below. While he fed them with crushed durra millet, and they sat on his shoulders or pecked from his cupped hands, Taita thought about the events of the morning and began to piece together all his disparate perceptions that he had gathered during the opening ceremony. His amusement and pleasure at what had transpired between Mintaka and Nefa were forgotten as he went on to think of Trok. He considered the man's relationship to the Hyksosian princess and the complications that might ensue when he tried to force through his plans for the young couple. His train of thought was interrupted as he noticed a stealthy shadow creeping along the edge of the terrace outside the window. It was one of the temple cats, gaunt, scarred, and flayed in patches with mange. It was stalking the birds that hopped on the flags outside the window, picking up the spilled grains of durra millet. Taita's pale eyes slitted as he concentrated on the cat. The old Tom stopped and peered round suspiciously. Suddenly its back arched, and every hair on its body stood erect as it stared at an empty spot on the stone flags in front of it. It uttered a spitting shriek, spun round, and raced away down the terrace until it came to a palm tree. It flew up the tall trunk until it reached the crowning top fronds, where it clung pathetically. Taita threw another handful of grain to the birds and picked up his thoughts. Even during their long ride together, Trok had kept his war quiver firmly stoppered, and it had not occurred to Taita to compare one of the arrows it contained to those that he'd found at the site of Pharaoh's murder. How many other Hyksosian officers had red and green fletchings? He could only guess, but it was probably a great number, though each would have his unique signet. There was only one way to connect Trok to the death of Pharaoh Tamosa, and through him to implicate his cousin Naja. That was to study one of his arrows. How to do this without arousing his suspicions, he wondered. Once again, he was distracted from his thoughts. There were voices in the passage outside the door to his cell. One was young and clear, and he recognized it at once. The others were gruff, pleading, and protesting. "Lord Asmore has given specific orders. Am I not Pharaoh? Are you not bound to obey me? I wish to visit the Magus, and you dare not prevent me. Stand aside, both of you." Nefer's voice was strong and commanding. The uncertain timbre of puberty was gone, and he spoke with the tones of a man. "The young falcon is spreading his wings and showing his talons," Taita thought, and turned from the window, dusting the millet powder from his hands, to greet his king. Nefer jerked aside the curtain that covered the doorway and stepped through. Two armed bodyguards followed him helplessly, crowding into the doorway behind him. Nefer ignored them and faced Taita with his hands on his hips. "Taita, I'm much displeased with you," Nefer said. "I am distraught," Taita made a deep obeisance. "In what way have I given you offence?" "You've been avoiding me. Whenever I send for you, they tell me that you've gone on a secret mission to the Hyksos, or that you've returned to the desert, or some other such moonlit tale." Nefer scowled to mask his delight at being with the old man again. "Then suddenly you pop up from nowhere as though you'd never left, but still you ignore me. You did not even look in my direction during the ceremony. Where have you been?"
"Majesty, there are long ears about."
Taita glanced at the hovering guards. Immediately Nefer turned upon them wrathfully. "I've ordered you more than once to be gone. If you do not go this instant, I'll have you both strangled." They withdrew unhappily, but not too far. Taita could still hear their murmurs and the clink of their weapons as they waited in the passage beyond the curtain. He jerked his head at the window and whispered, "I have a skiff at the jetty. Would your majesty like to go fishing?" Without waiting for his reply, Taite hitched up the skirts of his chiton and hopped onto the window-sill. He glanced over his shoulder. Nefer had forgotten his anger and was grinning delightedly as he ran across the cell to join him. Taite jumped down onto the terrace outside, and Nefer followed him nimbly. Like truants from the classroom, they sneaked across the terrace and down through the date palms to the river. There were guards at the jetty, but they had received no orders to restrain their young pharaoh. They saluted and stood aside respectfully as the pair scrambled into the small fishing skiff. Each took up a paddle and shoved off. Taita steered into one of the narrow passages in the banks of waving papyrus, and within minutes they were alone on the swamp waters, hidden from the banks in a maze of secret waterways.
"Where have you been, Taita?" Nefer dropped the regal air. "I've missed you so."
"I will tell you everything," Taita assured him. "But first you should tell me what has happened to you."
They found a quiet mooring in a tiny papyrus-enclosed lagoon, and Nefer related everything that had happened to him since they'd last been able to talk in private. He had been held on Naja's orders in a gilded prison, without being able to see any of his old friends, not even Meron, or his own sisters. His only distractions had been his studies of the scrolls of the palace library, his chariot drills and arms practice, under the coaching of the old warrior Hilto.
"Naja wouldn't even let me go out hawking or fishing without Asmor to wet-nurse me," he complained bitterly.
He had not known that Taita was to be at the welcoming ceremony in the temple courtyard until he had seen him there. He had believed him to be at Jebel Nagara. At his first opportunity, when Naja and Asmor were locked in the truce conclave with Apepe, Trok, and the other Hyksosian warlords, he browbeaten his guards and blustered his way out of the quarters to which he had been confined to come to Taita.
"Life is so dull without you, Taita. I've come to die of boredom. Naja, must let us be together again. You should cast a spell on him."
"It's something we can consider."
Taita avoided the suggestion adroitly.
"But now we have little time. Naja will send the whole army out to search for us once he finds that we're missing from the temple. I must tell you my own news."
Rapidly, in simple outline, he told Nefer what had happened to him since their last meeting. He explained the relationship between Naja and Trok, and described how he had visited the scene of Pharaoh Tomosa's death and the discovery he had made there. Nefer listened without interruption. But when Taita spoke of the death of his father, his eyes filled with tears. He looked away, coughed, and wiped his eyes with the back of his hand.
"Now you can appreciate the danger you're in," Taita told him. "I am certain that Naja had much to do with the pharaoh's murder, and the closer we come to proof of it, the greater that danger becomes."
"One day I will avenge the death of my father,"
Nefer vowed, and his voice was cold and hard.
"And I will help you do it," Taita promised. "But now, we must protect you from Naja's malice."
"Well, how do you plan to do that, Taita? Can we escape from Egypt as we planned before?"
"No," Taita shook his head. "Naturally, I have considered that course, but Naja has us too securely imprisoned here. If we tried to run for the frontier again, we would have 1,000 chariots hot behind us."
"What can we do, then? You're in danger also."
"No. I have convinced Naja that he cannot succeed without my help."
He described the false divination ceremony at the Temple of Osiris, and how Naja believed that Taita could share with him the secrets of eternal life. Nefer grinned at the Magus's cunning.
"So, what do you plan?"
"We must wait until the right time, either to escape or rid the world of Naja's evil presence. In the meantime, I will protect you as best I can."
"How will you do that?"
"Naja sent me to Apepe to arrange this peace conference."
"Yes. I knew that you went to Avaris. They told me that when I demanded to see you."
not to Avaris, but to Apepi's battle headquarters at Bubasti. Once Apepi had agreed to the meeting with Narja, I was able to convince him that they should seal the treaty by a marriage between you and Apepi's daughter. Once you are under the protection of the Hyksosian king, Narja's knife will be blunted. He would not risk plunging the land back into civil war by voiding the treaty.
Apepi is going to give me his daughter as a wife?
Nefer stared at him in wonder.
The one in the red dress whom I saw at the ceremony this morning?
Yes, Taito agreed. Mintaka is her name.
I know her name,
Nefer assured him vehemently.
She's named after a tiny star in the belt of the Hunter constellation.
Yes, that's her, Taito nodded. Mintaka, the ugly one with the big nose and funny mouth.
She's not ugly,
Nefer flared at him, springing to his feet so that he almost overturned the skiff and dumped them in the mud of the lagoon.
She's the most beautiful.
When he saw the expression on Taita's face, he subsided.
I mean, she's quite pleasing to look at.
He grinned ruefully.
You always catch me out. But you must admit that she's beautiful, Taita.
If you like big noses and funny mouths.
Nefer picked up a dead fish from the bilges and threw it at his head. Taita ducked.
When can I speak to her?
He asked, trying to sound as though it was a request of no real importance to him.
She does speak Egyptian, doesn't she?
She speaks it as well as you do,
Taita assured him.
Then when can I meet her? You can arrange it for me.
Taita had anticipated this request. You could invite the princess and her suite to a hunt here in the swamps. Perhaps a picnic afterwards.
I'll send Asmor to invite her this very afternoon,
Nefer decided, but Taita shook his head. He would go to the regent first, and Narja would immediately see the danger. He would never allow it. And once he was alerted, he would do everything in his power to prevent you coming together.
What shall we do then?
Nefer looked agitated. I'll go to her myself, Taita promised. And at that moment there were faint shouts from different directions in the papyrus swamps around them, and the splash of paddles. Asmor has found out that you're missing and has sent his hounds to bring you in, Taita said. It proves how difficult it will be to elude him. Now listen carefully, for we have little time before we will be separated again.
They spoke quickly, making arrangements to exchange messages in any emergency and to put other plans into place. But all the time the shouting and splashing was growing louder, drawing nearer. Within minutes, a light fighting galley, packed with armed men, burst through the screen of papyrus, thrust onwards by 20 oars. A shout went up from the command deck.
There is Pharaoh! Steer for the skiff!